Now, the previous stack on the previous motion was Ramses and Craig, and I'm just going to let that go, and then other people can line up for the stack on this. Ramses, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're doing a little too much personally with this. I'm not in favor of the substitute motion. I'm not even sure, and you know, don't know if it's worth looking into Robert's rules, but not even sure if that's actually a substitute for this, because it's entirely something different, you know, in my opinion, than the actual initial motion, which was for a reimbursement. Right now, I think that, you know, I've had my experiences with reimbursements and policies, you know, at work and the union, and it's a board member there and such. This isn't the best way to bring it. I think, you know, many of us will agree to drop in the middle of a meeting. I know it's in the treasurer's report in regards to whether it's within
the manager's report, actually. Anthony dropped it in.
I'm sorry, the manager report, right, but I thought treasurer's because I started looking at the numbers here. But, I mean, as a board, I do think that we do have the jurisdiction to say, you know, reimburse this money, right? I mean, of course, it does open up a can of worms if people feel like, okay, now anybody can just come here and ask for it, right?
Right.
We don't want to have a conflict with our management, you know, having one set of policies and practices, and then we kind of override them, right? That doesn't mean we should just never, ever do it or consider it, but I am leaning towards just, you know, given the reimbursement for this time, you know, or some process that leads to it. I understand it was rejected, but I understand other folks making the case that, you know, it does benefit, you know, one of our unpaid staff, you know, in the programming and KPFA, so the case is there for it. And I'm even okay if we say, yes, do that in reimbursement, and Quincy officially tells us it was a bad idea, right? That's his opinion. That's for him to tell us that, right? But another thing I'm worried about is that we think about the management, you know, like Quincy, which we hired, in a sort of backwards role where, like, we're accountable to him rather than he's accountable to us as the board in a more equal level, right? So there will be times when this board can say, you know, no to something Quincy is doing, right? And I think that's fine.
Okay. Craig and then Bill.
Well, I want to echo what Tim said. I think this board should not do micromanaging, and it should not step in and start adjudicating individual cases. I think we need to look at this as a policy issue. And whether we need to include it, I don't know whether professional development exactly is a term that would encompass, say, you know, what Ann or Frank or others have done, but we could figure out what that term would be. But I think we need to do it as a policy rather than sort of an ad hoc thing. My concern is how many other people, you know, we have a lot of unpaid staff, how many other people would want this. I mean, so we approve it for Ann, but now Frank has asked for reimbursement too. So should we do Frank and then who else? And then who else? And then who else? And I just don't think we should not be acting as management here. That's what Quincy is for. That's what Maria and that's are for, you know, and we have a policy. And I think we should look at the policy and figure out, you know, what's the universe of people here we're looking at? What are the implications? And so forth. So, and I fully appreciate that that's a lot of money for somebody to shell out to do something like this, you know, to go to this conference, and I appreciate the work. But I just don't think this board should be engaging in micromanaging.
Bill, you've got to use a microphone.
You know, why don't we have our cake and help this woman out, too? So if we're going to change the policy or expand the policy, Maria, we can say that the policy is retroactive back to today or whatever, so that this woman can then apply once the policy is changed for reimbursement. You know, she may have to wait a little bit of time to get the reimbursement, but she'll get it. You know, so that way
or not.
Well, depending on depending what the manager says, that's correct. But once we change the policy, we could make the policy work backwards at least to today or specifically for this woman. Okay. So I think and if you, Maria or Quincy, think it's good to change, you know, budget an item for professional development, I'll vote for that. So that's my idea.
Actually, that's Tim's idea, and it's in the form of a substitute motion, and so that's what's on the table right now. And that we are, as I understand it, how did you write it, dear? Okay. LSB urges management to consider prearranged staff development expenses as appropriate expenses for reimbursement under the line item for unpaid staff training. Okay?
Well,
all right. I can't hear you on this. You cannot just yak. Go ahead. Now you can yak.
Okay. Well, then I'm offering an amendment to that motion, which is to make it retroactive. Or in some way include her in it, because the way that's written, she can't get reimbursed. So
why? That's not true. And let's make it a record that we're saying that does not exclude that in the discussion of this motion.
Because the way the motion reads, it says pre-approved.
Yes, but that has to do. Okay.
So the word pre-approved would tend to exclude her.
But that has to do with an argument about whether or not she asked and whether or not that was an oversight and whether or not other things and so on. And, I mean, are you going to say that people, that we're going to change? Are you making Are you making a substitute motion that says that there never has to be pre-approval for to arrange this?
No. I wanted to add to the motion some words or some language that would let this woman get reimbursed if Quincy thinks, under the policy, she should be. Not that we're telling him what to do, but we're allowing him to do it under this. Because we're envisioning a situation where someone like her could get reimbursed. Since we're envisioning a policy that would allow her to get reimbursed, someone like her to get reimbursed in the future, we ought to just pick her up, too. That's all.
Maria.
Again, just a couple of points of clarification. This actually all started with the union contract. So the union contract states that we have $500 per employee for professional development up to and capped off at $5,000 for the whole organization. In, 4 years ago or so, we included another $5,000 for unpaid staff. Again, training, pre-approved, and that it could come back and benefit everybody.
Okay.
So there has to be some sort of, somebody goes and does a sound training, so on, you know. And in the past, it just what comes to mind kind of from what Craig said is that in the past I've been asked, volunteer staff has asked for reimbursement for bridge tolls. And, you know, that's we're getting kind of into this little area of where do you stop, like, you know,
well,
where he said before.
Professional development.
Yeah. And again, the thing is that, you know, do we go back to Frank and do we go back to others and so on? I mean, the budget and, you know, the budget is there. Everybody knows it. If people don't come and want to do training, it's on them. I mean, the money is there for them, but nobody does any training.
Point of information, Maria.
Listen, you have to use the microphone.
Sorry. Point of information, Maria. Are you saying that, in fact, a policy does exist for people to get pre-approval for professional development, including a volunteer staff?
The volunteer staff was added on as a budget item, and the pre-approval or the policy is part of the union contract.
And one more question then. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that this woman could have gotten pre-approval for what she did?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Well, then I don't know that there's an issue here. Well, there is no reimbursement, but it doesn't have to do with policy, and there is it has to do with it has to do with what happened in the station and what happened with the request and what happened with training and what happened that is has to do with the management of the station and somebody who is one of our volunteer programmers. And there has been a discussion about whether or not this board wants to take a particular position on a particular person for overriding management. And maybe that's where we're at, and that's the discussion to have. Ramses.
So I don't agree that it's overriding management. I feel like it would be good to have Quincy's, you know, response for why he did not respond to the initial request for approval. I don't think that Ann is here, you know, or, you know, the motion initially made is... You can do it next. I do think there's obviously a little more to the story, but there is a role here that we can play, right? Like we did find out, you know, we're not out of the budget, you know, we're not past the budget, so there is room for the reimbursement, right? It's totally budgeted. It's totally possible for us to just do this reimbursement. It's still possible for Quincy to say no or respond in however method he wants. But we're not like going far out, I think, as the board, if we were to instruct Quincy to just make the reimbursement this time, right? That said, I mean, that's one piece. I feel like it's not worth, a whole lot more to it, in my opinion, just for this reimbursement. It's within a framework that already exists. But one thing that really worries me is that if we're a board that hires management and then only wants to make recommendations to management, it's kind of like, what is the role of the board, right?
Oh, wait, like, wait a minute. The next person who is on is Bill.
Right, and that piece really worries me if that's really, I don't think it's micromanaging. I feel like maybe they don't like this. We shouldn't do this on a regular basis, but we cannot, you know, we can make a recommendation
to
the government.
Margie?
We can make a recommendation to City of Berkeley Council, right? We can make a recommendation to the PMB. But if we're only going to make recommendations to the management that we hired, we're not really having accountability or an actual like power over KPFA if that's going to be the only role we have.
Okay, now the person who hasn't spoken yet is Mark, so I'm calling on Mark, and then Bill, and then Tim. I didn't see you. I didn't see. You'll be next. You're right after Mark. Go ahead.
This is touching on several points. And the first of which is, we make recommendations to the manager, but we also review the manager every year. If the manager doesn't follow recommendations or has proven that our recommendations are wrong, they can take him out. That's our role in management. That's our only role in management. What we're talking about here is something that's covered under the union contract. I don't want to see the LSB involved in the union negotiations, be seen on either side as taking the side. So if this is how something's handled under the union contract with provisions and actions be taken under that, then that takes it completely out of the budget, completely out of our hands, and goes between management, labor relations.
Sasha, I'm sorry.
We can make stipulations for the budget, but it's still management that goes ahead and decides on the level of the street what goes to pay for what. We can make the recommendations, make the openings, expand definitions, but it's still going to be definitions that are handled by management. And in this case, this is all under union contract. Why are we even getting involved at this point?
Sasha, and then I'm going to make a ruling of the board. Go ahead, Sasha.
I'll be really brief because I really wanted to say pretty much the same thing. We hire, we fire the general manager, review the general manager once a year. That's the role of the board. We do not tell the general manager what to do on a daily basis. And as much as we might want to help one person, I really don't think we can overstep that, or we should get involved in doing something like that. I think we're opening up ourselves for all kinds of people coming here. The other thing is there is a union union perhaps involvement in this as well, which I don't think we want to get involved in. And finally, as somebody who's worked in media, both as staff and as a freelancer, you know that when you go and you cover something or when you say, I have this story idea, if you don't make it clear that your expenses are going to be covered, they aren't going to be covered, period. I mean, I'm amazed we're spending about a half an hour on this, and I'm absolutely astonished. It simply doesn't happen that if you don't, after the fact, say, I need my expenses, and then go to a management board to get them. I mean, it's unheard of.
I'm going to actually now rule this all out of order, and we're going to move on. Okay.
Hey, Carol.
What?
Excuse me. Why can't we table it till we hear from Quincy? And I think that might be a nice thing to do. Just table this discussion and all these issues until Quincy shows up for a manager's meeting. Okay? Can we just do that?
Okay, so who wants to table this?
I move to table it.
Okay, is there a second? There's a second. A tabling takes two-thirds vote? Is that right?
No.
No, yes?
Table is a simple majority. It's not debatable.
It's not debatable.
It's not debatable. It's a simple majority.
Okay. So all those in favor of tabling this discussion, please raise your hand. There's eight here on the phone. Scott?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Kate?
Yes.
Yuri?
Yes.
Okay, it's tabled. The motion's tabled. Oh, people who are against. Five no's and abstentions. One. Okay. Two. Okay. Okay. We're moving on. The point of personal privilege.
I know Margie has to go at one, and I just sent my dad and my sister on a mission. They're almost done. Can we do the PNB report after we say goodbye?
We've already done the PNB report.
Oh, I mean it's the treasurer's report. Can we say goodbye to these old folks here that are ready to go? Old LSB, not old as in age, but old as in done.
Well, some of you who are going, but one of them staying. The treasurer has to stay. Is the treasury report longer than 5 minutes?
Fair.
It's a five-minute treasurer's report, and then we're going to just adjourn and say goodbye to all of you.
Okay, but somebody else has to take over timing speakers. Thank you.
Okay. I have a fast statement to make. And then Maria is going to do a fast run-through of the financial report. And I just want to comment on some things that I have, and I wish some people weren't talking.
Well, could you sit down, please?
What?
Yes, everybody's got them. I don't know if there were enough.
Is there two or one?
Just one.
There's one.
Okay.
One multi-page financial statement. All right. Let me go through my verbal statement, and it actually concerns the Pacific Film Archive. And if you remember, I met with Margie and Sharon, and the three of us. Pacifica Radio Archives. Everybody's, oh, yes. Well, it's a weird day, isn't it? I have done some more investigation of the situation there, and I am not convinced that sending everything out to some educational institution is, in fact, the best answer. It may still involve some institution like that, but I will. Even though I'm going to be stepping down as the treasurer, I'm going to pursue this investigation, and I'll send a report to those of you who are have been in on these meetings where we've talked about this, and the new board also. So it's been a pleasure serving you all as treasurer for 6 years, and I will hand it over to the real person who does all the work, our business manager, Maria Negrete.
Okay, very, very, very brief, because I literally did this late last night and early this morning. This is, first of all, everybody who has a pen, put on this preliminary unaudited. Numbers will change until the auditors give it its blessing. So, but there are basically 3 years here for you all to look at and everything. I've got the totals of fiscal year 15 every month for fiscal year 16 with a comparative to the budget year to date. And then, of course, we've only had 1 month, well, 1 month that we've done financials for fiscal year 17. Sure, fiscal, which one?
October. What months?
Oh, sorry, fiscal year 17 began October 1st of 2016, will end September 30th of 2017. Thank you. You're welcome. So, again, quite briefly, in fiscal year 16, we actually did better than we expected for our revenue. And the same thing happened in October of 2017. And basically, I'm just going to go right down to the bottom line to state that we had a net income in fiscal year 16 of currently $288,000. And we projected that we were going to have a loss in October of 2016. And we came in just $462, you know, better on that.
She's looking at page
two. Sorry, page two at the top. And I forgot to put the rows and column references. But it's basically one quarter of the way on the top. So we're on budget, basically, for fiscal year 17. In terms of fiscal year 17 budget, however, it has not been approved by the National Finance Committee yet. It has not been seen by the National Board. They've been talking about increasing our central services, so that changes everything that you all looked at and approved back in August. So things will change, possibly.
Oh, Ramses must be in charge. Carol's out of here.
Oh, you're right there.
You know, there was one new member of this body who had requested that he'd like to see a statement from last July through current time. And we didn't have time to prepare such a specific kind of statement. But the figure, the first column, which has fiscal year 2015, would contain July, August, September.
No.
All right. Well, you straighten it out.
Okay. First of all, whomever asked for the for July of 2016 through current, it's all here. However, you don't do a financial report year to date crossing fiscal years. If whomever it was wants to talk to me, I'm please. My door is open. Okay. So anyway, but I do want to very much stress the fact that our budget that you all approved might change based on what the National Finance Committee says. And it's all based on the fact that it's really crazy. National office needs money. A lot of the stations are not paying their central services except us. So they want us to pay more central services, because we're the only ones who pay central services, basically. So, this is a point of personal grievance or agitation, is that the National Finance Committee insists that they see salaries, names, positions, and salaries. In my opinion, the boards should only say this is how much you should spend. If you're overspending, then that's a deal. But to see individuals makes me feel like it's a witch hunt. Just wanted to say that.
Well, on personal privilege.
On personal privilege.
I think that you all should excuse me and Frank and whoever else is going to leave now at this point so that because I know that discussions around finance reports can go on forever, and I don't want to walk out in the middle of someone talking. So I think you should all say any of the old board members who want to leave now can leave.
Okay, and we'll give you a round of applause, and please take a bunch of cake. Lucky you.
Thanks, you guys. I've been here 6 years, almost seven, and I'll just say the last two things. I feel like we're working good together, starting to. We need to really focus on that, and I feel like in the coming age of the Trump administration, we need to be more than just a station that covers. We need to be part of the action and up to our legal limit. We need to do more than just cover the news. We need to be part of the news. In this Trump administration as KPFA, as far as our legal action, as far as we can, supporting causes, not just covering causes, being part of the movements, not just covering the movements. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Frank and Mark.
Thanks, Greg.
Tim, Craig.
Go ahead. First, thank you both to Margie and Frank so much. I have grave concerns when I hear you say that the PNB Finance Committee wants us to increase our central services payments. And I just want some clarification here. Are they suggesting that only KPFA, or are they suggesting that all stations increase their central services? And is that does that have – are there any sanctions on stations who aren't paying any central services or who have declared that they will never pay more than, what, 5% or whatever BAI is
so,
declared?
So it gets very complicated in that some years ago we all were paying 19.5% in total, 17% to national office, 2.5% to the archives. A few years ago, I looked at a budget. It was actually WBAI's budget, and they were only paying – well, they were supposed to pay 9% to national office. However, they weren't paying even that. And when I asked the CFO at the time, which was Laverne, I said, well, why are they only getting 9%? Well, they don't have the money to pay it. Well, you know. So with that said, the PFW apparently has not paid all of fiscal year 16 and owes national office. A national office is owed almost $500,000 in unpaid central services and medical benefits. We pay our own medical benefits, by the way. So anyway, so on paper, they would raise everybody's central services percentage. But what they don't pay, it doesn't matter whether it's 1% or 20%. You know, it doesn't make a difference. You don't pay, you don't pay.
So, in effect, KPFA, this policy would require KPFA to carry even more of the network's weight than we already do.
Yeah. Correct.
Thanks. I just want that on the record.
Yeah. Craig.
Thanks again, Maria, for all the work you've done. I just wanted to see if you could help me kind of just step through this report to make sure that I'm understanding it right. So on the – let's go to page 2. In the top right of page 2, so net – let me just make sure that I'm reading this right. So fiscal year 2016, we budgeted about $3.3 million for expenses, and expenses were about $3.4 million. Right. So we had, let's see here, the net loss. Or, wait a minute. What was I going to say? We had more expenses than we budgeted. Correct. Yeah. And then for October, for fiscal year 2017, and it looks like October is what we have so far in actuals. We are $119,000 over our revenue, and we had budgeted to be almost $119,000 over our revenue. So in other words, we're still like in the hole, and we're slightly more in the hole according to our actuals than what we had budgeted. So we're about $119,000 short still this year, right? Okay.
Where do you see that?
That is on page 2. It doesn't have a line item, but if you start over in the left-hand column and go down accounts, total expenses, it gets net income loss. After you go net income loss, depreciation, administration, and then net income loss without depreciation, you go across that line and you'll get to 2017, way over on the right. In October 2016, it's in parentheses $119,147. Got it?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Are we moving this along? Yeah, we will move this along. Yes, we are at a loss. However, we expect sometimes to be at a loss. So if you look at September, we had a, you know, great gain. So that means that the money that we made in September has held us over into October and November and into December. Yeah. And of course we just had a fund drive that we just ended yesterday. So we expect to be at a loss at certain months because it's the months that we don't have fund drives and such.
Okay, I think maybe we're done with this board. Oh, no, we're not. My. Rich has not spoken yet. Rich.
I just wanted to point out one error here, I think, and that's if you look at the total revenue, the final line all the way to the right,
it says which minus page? 100
on the front page.
Okay.
Fiscal year 2017, it says minus 100%. That should probably be 111%. And then down below, under total operating expenses, it says minus 100%. I think that should be 107%. I think those didn't get calculated right. So people just can correct that. And
well, also, as Maria said, she knocked this out late at night. This is preliminary, unaudited, and so on. And it was to give us a sense of things. Anthony.
Yeah, two questions. With Brian gone, who's the current chair of the PNB Finance Committee?
That's not for you.
If she doesn't know,
Michael,
that's all right.
I know who the chair is. Michael Novick has been serving as chair from KPFK.
Okay. And the other thing is, what about this proposal floating around to do a campaign, a fundraising campaign specifically to pay for the completion of the audits. Is that
that was
the status
brought up very abruptly, mm-hmm. Right before KPFA's long planned mm-hmm. fund drive was in the works, and also KPFK's own fund drive was going to start, mm-hmm. and so. Even though it sounded like a good idea, mm-hmm. it, as far as timing goes, it was totally ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That's my comment.
Where did it come from, anyway?
It came from the cab at KPFK.
WBAI.
BAI. Okay. 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 Bill Campisi, with the microphone, please.
Yes. Well, Maria or Barbara, does anyone know what's going on with completing the 2014 audit?
The audit's not.
Okay. Here is a clarification because there's been so much talk about it. 2014 audit is done. Okay. All of the schedules, the audits, and all of that kind of stuff, the auditor portion of it is done. The problem is that it hasn't been paid for. And because it hasn't been paid for, the auditors won't release it. That's it.
How much is owed?
I want to say $50,000. And then on the flip side of it is they won't even start fiscal year 15 until they get paid for 14 and they get paid a substantial, I shouldn't say substantial, I don't know what it would be, but until they get a deposit for 2015. So, but the work, yeah, the work, you know, in the station and at national office, that's all still being done. but the auditors haven't looked at 2015.
Madam Chair, can I ask one more question? Why don't they pay the $50,000?
They don't have it.
Well,
I'm sorry. That's a simple. The national office pays for a lot of payrolls that, you know, for other stations that doesn't get met. They pay for, there were $500,000 in the hole that they paid for other stations.
We pay for it.
Whichever way you want to talk about it, yeah.
I think it's about $35,000 that's owed, but maybe it's $50,000 at this point. Who knows? But also, all the bookkeeping is not necessarily ready from all the stations in Pacifica and the archives for the 2015 audit either.
They're being worked on.
We need to elect a pro tem chair to take us into the next board, to start the next board meeting. Can I have nominations? Did you have your hand up? You have to get a microphone. Mark.
Actually, the proper procedure is you do a secretary first. The secretary then conducts the election for the pro tem chair.
Okay. So a pro tem secretary.
Yes.
Okay. So, do we have nominations for a pro tem secretary?
I nominate Akio Tanaka. Oh, sorry. Craig. All right. Oh, God, this changeover is confusing. All right, I nominate a stalwart, Craig Alderson.
Second. Is there any other nomination? Seeing none. All in favor? Well, it's by acclamation. Let's raise your hands and cheer. Okay. And you in the far regions, David, Scott, Yuri. They said yeah. I heard them say yeah.
Here. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I guess. My hesitation is when we arranged the. We're here. That's correct. Yes, I know. We're there. We kicked the election of LSB officers down the list to make sure everybody had a chance to arrive here, as I think everybody has. So maybe we could move that up the agenda.
Well, that's when we get the new board. We haven't adjourned this board.
We're here. Yeah. Okay. I understand. Okay. Hey, I'm the pro tem chair. Shut up. Okay. Right. Okay. So maybe we could move that up when we convene the new board. I'm not on the new board. Yeah, right.
Madam Chair?
Well,
I move to adjourn the present LSB for seating of the new LSB members and for the pro tem secretary to conduct the election immediately following. Provide a pro tem chair replacement.
Yeah. Let me just say, I don't think we need to make a motion for that. I think we're done with our business for the 2016 board, and I think we're in a position to conduct the elections immediately after we can reconvene as the 2017 board. So,
without objection?
If there are no objections, let's proceed on those grounds. Is that okay?
Okay. This meeting is now adjourned.
This board, the 26, and I just want to say, on a personal matter, I've enjoyed working with everybody on the board and the outgoing members, those who are still here, so I appreciate your service, and thank you.
We want to say goodbye to Craig, to Mark, to Ramses. Ramses wants to say something, too.
Yeah, just real brief, thank you. It's been a challenging but very enriching few years being on the board. For KPFA, look out, because I remember when I first listened to KPFA, it was right before 9/11 and right after 9/11, and it was kind of like the one beacon of hope, I think, for a lot of us who like to understand what was going on in the world. And I think we're about to go into those times, and you know, the station will become very relevant to a lot of people again as a place of good information and way to plug in, you know, and resist the attacks that are coming out on all of us ahead of us. And you know, just, you know, I'm not going to be on this next board, of course, but like, reach out to me if you have any questions for things. You know, I got on because I really cared as a listener and wanted to see how I can help out. And I see a lot of good people waiting to get on the next board, and I trust that you'll do the best, you know, there is to make sure we keep moving forward. And thank you to everybody on this board for being very supportive, you know, and especially since I didn't know a lot about radio when I came in, but I know a lot about other things. It was a good collective effort for all of us to learn, and I learned a lot about radio actually while just being on the board. So thanks, everybody, and look forward to going to the Crafts Fair after this, and trusting you all to do the very best.
Thank you so much, Ramses and Barbara.
And thank you for all those wonderful free meeting rooms. You saved the LSB a lot of money. SEIU did. Okay. Whoever's in charge of getting rooms for meetings, just remember, SEIU is willing to loan them to KPFA gratis.
All right. Okay, so all you new board members, you want to step to the table, take your places. We can have, you can on your way get some cake, and those of us who have been sitting at the table can get more cake. I think so. I think you should, just because it should go into different slots. It won't? Okay, then that doesn't matter. Who knows? I don't know. Now, right now, please sit down and let's convene this meeting. Okay.
I thought she left it.
Please sit down and... Carol, I think you're standing in front of somebody's chair. And I hope everybody has a chair.
Okay.
All right. I'm supposed to be convening this, so what she said. Okay. So thank you, everybody. I'm glad to see a brand new board for a brand new year. What I want to do is first do the roll call and then elect a pro tem chair, so who will conduct the business until we can get to officer elections. And then we can approve the agenda and move on down the agenda. Okay, so what I would like to do, I'll read the names, but if maybe you could just raise your hand, so we'll do sort of a, you know, face and name pairing here, and then we'll get through this and move on. Oh, and we do have folks, yeah, online. So today's the 17th. Okay, so let's see. Adams is absent. And excuse. Well, we can, yeah. Ahmad Anderson. Ahmad Anderson is here. Bill Campisi.
Here.
Raise your hand, Bill. Nope. There he is. Bill Campisi is here. Chris Corey is here. Brian Crowell.
Crowell.
Okay. Crowell?
Crowell.
Okay, got it. Brian Crowell is here. Lisa Detmer. Lisa Detmer is over there. Anthony Fest. Anthony Fest. Anthony? Raise your hand. There you go. Sasha Futrin.
She's coming back.
Okay, Marker is absent for the moment. Yuri Gottesman. Yuri Gottesman is on. He's not. Is he online? Yes. Yuri?
Here.
There he is.
Here.
Okay, Yuri is here. Christina Huggins. Christina Huggins is here. Sabrina Jacobs. Thank you for coming today, Sabrina. Sabrina Jacobs is here. Janet Coburn. Janet Coburn is not here. David Lynch.
Here.
David Lynch, his voice is here. Tim Lynch. Here. Tim Lynch is here. Scott Olson.
Over here.
And Scott Olson is over there. And let me just mark this. Lewis Sawyer. Lewis Sawyer was here, but he's not here now. Markham is absent. T.M. Scruggs, he is absent. Aki Tanaka?
Yep.
Aki, raise your hand. There he is. Aki Tanaka's here. Carol Travis?
Here.
Carol Travis is here. Andrea Turner?
Here.
Andrea Turner is there. Tom Voorhees?
Here.
Tom Voorhees is here. Craig Williams?
Here.
Craig Williams is here. Rich Withers?
Here.
Rich Withers is here. Carol Wolfley?
Here.
Carol Wolfley is there. And Richard Walensky? Richard Walensky is here. And as noted earlier, Quincy McCoy is not here. Okay, so that is 20 present. Our quorum is 13, so we're well above a quorum. Okay, so what I would like to do is take care of the pro tem chair to conduct the next bit of the meeting. So any nominations for pro tem chair, Tim?
I nominate Carol for pro tem chair.
Okay, Tim nominates Carol Travis. Okay, any other nominations? Okay, nominations going once, going twice. Sold to Carol Travis. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and now I will sing. No, okay.
I withdraw the nomination.
All right. So what we have here is an agenda, but and the agenda that we have here, I am suggesting that we change it around a little bit. And I want to ask that Craig Alderson, who is really not on this board, but both treasurer position and secretary positions, can be non-board members if we find people who want to do that. Craig does not want to do that as a long-term job, but he's willing to do this until we elect our new officers, I believe. Are you willing to do this? For the next few minutes, Craig is willing to do this. Okay. So what we had brought forward as the agenda was the convening of the meeting, which we did. We did the roll call. There is next on the agenda is the approval of the agenda, the remote policy participation announcements, public comments, new board introductions, and the election of officers way down there. I'm suggesting that we bring the election of officers right at, that we bring the new board welcome and introductions right after the approval of the agenda, so that we'll go around and say something about ourselves and everybody will get a sense of who's at the table. And then we will have the election of officers after that, so people know who's who. And then we will go to announcement, public comments, and so on. I skipped the remote policy discussion because the last board voted for a remote policy that's a general policy. There had been some discussion before this agenda, before the meeting, that the policy was just going to be something that we voted on just for the first half of the meeting. If people want to have a substantive discussion about remote policy, I suggest we do that in January when we have more time for that and people can think it through more. If people at that point still want to talk about it, that we could do that. So what I'm saying is the agenda that I'm asking for a motion to approve is approve the agenda. The new board member welcome and introductions, the LSP officer election, then announcement, public comments, approval of a 2017 board schedule, a quick overview of the state of the station and the foundation, just to give people a taste of what's going on here and what the last board came to, and then a discussion of a board retreat possible date for January, a CAB report, a KFCF report, and an adjournment. So that is the agenda that is being suggested. Okay, so moved. Second point of information.
Point of information. I don't believe that we dealt with last time excusing of absent members, and I'm not sure that we've dealt with it as part of the roll call of this meeting, and I think it's germane because at least one person did not pre-approve their absence. So I'd like us to discuss that. Also, there's a typo on the as printed on number 3. Of course, it's meant to be 2017, not 2016. So.
Correct. Okay. So to add that and the roll call thing that we as soon as we approve the agenda, we'll go back to that issue about the roll call and excusing people who are not here. Okay. On discussion. All in favor of the agenda as read, please signify by saying aye or raise your hands.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none opposed. Any abstentions? Seeing none. So it's, we pass the agenda. Okay. So we're going now to the people who were not here. And can I have a motion on that?
I would like to move that we excuse all members who, as according to policy, asked to be excused in advance of the meeting, and that those people who did not ask to be excused in the beginning do not receive an excused absence.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying, oops.
Let me just read the names here. So Sharon Adams requested to be excused. Sasha Futrin is not here, so that wouldn't apply. I guess she's not excused. Janet Coburn did not request to be excused, so she would not be excused. Lewis Sawyer is not here, so he would not be excused. And T.M. Scruggs requested to be excused. So the people excused would be Sharon Adams and T.M. Scruggs.
Another point of information, I guess. Since Janet did not request an excusal for the end of the 2016 one, does that give her two unexcused at this meeting, or would that just be?
Let's just say one.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be gracious.
Point of information.
Yes, please use the mic.
What happens? Can you remind us again what happens with unexcused absences?
So the deal is the bylaws specify that if you accumulate three unexcused consecutive absences, you're automatically terminated from the board. So it has to be three meetings in a row where you've been unexcused. And the board policy is to be excused. You simply need to notify the secretary that you won't be there.
Now, it may be if we're calling this all one meeting that Lewis and Sasha are here.
Right.
Anyway, it's something to think about. But, yes.
So if it's one
well, you've got to use the mic. You have to use the mic. You've got to turn it on.
So Lewis,
not on.
It's not on.
Now it's that. Ah. Hi, folks. Welcome to Bookwaves. Okay, so Lewis and Sasha are okay for this meeting then because they were here for the first one.
Point of information. That's an important question because if we're calling this one big meeting and Janet, for example, gets one absence, then they would get zero absences because, and so if we're calling them absent for this meeting, then Janet would get two absences.
Okay. So let's say we're being gracious to Janice, we'll be gracious to Lewis and Sasha. Okay. Okay. That's what we're doing. All right. Okay. All right. Oh, my God. All right. Next we have, so we vote on the excused and unexcused as the motion thing. All in favor, please raise your hands. And you guys out there can raise your hands. I see Olson. I see Lynch. Yuri, you don't know how to raise your hand. Maybe you're on the, say yes or no, Yuri.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Next, we have the introductions of the board. So let's go around and introduce ourselves. So let's start right
Keeping it simple, huh? All right. My name is Chris Corey. I'm a resident of Sonoma County. This was my first stab at joining the board, and I'm happy to be here. The concerns that brought me here were the sort of the financial issues of the entity. It's kind of my background. I have several businesses that I run up in Sonoma County. Been doing it for about 25 years now, and so my interests primarily lie in that area, and I hope I can be of some help in that regard.
Hi, my name is Craig Williams. I've been on the outreach committee at KPFA for several years. I live in San Leandro. I've been involved in local progressive politics. I also worked as a community organizer. I worked on tenant issues, and also I was involved in some labor organizing drives. I just feel that KPFA is such an important source for the community, and I hope I can help on the board.
My name is Christina Huggins. About 30 years as a union representative and officer. I'm involved in the Free Chile movement for many years also, in anti-torture work, community work, a broad spectrum of different issues that I've been involved in, but lots of human rights work as well. I used to represent the paid staff on KPFA, although I made it clear that anybody on unpaid staff who had a problem, I quietly helped them as well, because I believe everybody deserves to be represented. And I hope that we can keep this organization floating. Thank you.
Ahmad Anderson's my name. Hello again to those I knew before when I was the National HR Director for Pacifica, as well as the interim GM for KPFA. It always has been my position in my relationship with KPFA since I was a native from this area that we and should always be a lighthouse for the voice in which we represent. It enables us to, especially during these times, ensure those voices are heard and keep us in safe harbor as a community. That is my interest, that is my goal, and unity is that platform.
Hi, my name is Lisa Detmer. I came to KPFA about 15 years ago. I used to do legal work, and I wanted to get back into radio and media. So I've learned a lot about the issues of KPFA internally that were unknown to me as a listener. And for me, I guess what's really important is I'd like to see less partisanship and us working together effectively and honestly, and also not using parliamentary procedures for political purposes, but trying to really communicate with each other. I'm not really interested in Robert's Rules of Order being used as a war. And I really would like to see us be honest. You know, I actually think we all have common ground and common interests. We all want to see KPFA succeed. I do think, having gone through the apprenticeship program and the news training, I've seen that there are issues at KPFA, that there are people whose voices don't feel they're heard, especially people of color. And I learned a lot through the apprenticeship program about racism internally in myself and at KPFA. And I think sometimes we all have privileged positions at certain times, and we don't often see those voices. We don't hear those voices. So I really would like it to be heard. And I think why that is also so important is we can all row together. I think we have 200 valuable unpaid staff that could be utilized more effectively to help KPFA fundraise, bring in new people. The other thing I'm very interested in is expanding our demographics. We are dying, literally, and they're not all going to bequeath money enough to pay for our funding. So I really, really urgently feel like it's important we expand our listenership, and we have 200 unpaid staff there from many different communities, especially the apprenticeship program. I'm very interested in the apprenticeship program. When Quincy came in, he said he was interested in raising money for it, and I know the audit has been holding some of that up, but to me, that's really essential. So I guess I feel like we all share similar values. I can't know anybody who doesn't share those values, I'm hoping. So I'm hoping we can all find common ground.
There we are. How's that sound? Okay. I'm Richard Walensky. I came to KPFA in 1976. From 77 to the present, I've hosted a book program. It's called Book Waves. Right now it's on Thursdays. I also do another program called Arts Waves, which is a compendium, different kind of art programming. I do a podcast on kpfa.org called Radio Walensky and another one called Bay Area Theater. And on Upfront, I do theater reviews. And I was a folio editor from 1978 to 1992 and have done a lot of stuff at KPFA. And I've been around since way in the other building and stuff. And this is the first time I've dealt with governance, and maybe the last, but I agree with Lisa that it's time to pull together and also to expand. And I think what I did 2 years ago is, if you go to kpfa.org, I worked very closely doing the editing on the programming listings that were on there and dealing with that. And it's one way to expand, but I think Lisa and I had a conversation about this yesterday, about finding new ways to expand our listenership, particularly in a time when terrestrial radio is on the decline and younger people are not going to radio at all. And we need to deal with this, assuming that we survive the financial crisis. And that's, I guess, why I'm here. And I will turn it over to Sabrina.
Thanks.
Got your own mic.
Yeah. Hello. My name is Sabrina Jacobs. This is my second year now on the board. I host and produce two shows at KPFA, A Rude Awakening and The 420 Report, which is twice a month on La Onda Bajita. And been 6 years, going on seven at the station, and have seen it change a lot. This past year on the board has been very enlightening. I've seen a lot of contention that's just starting to disappear, and a lot of working together, and it's moving in a positive direction, but I'm afraid it's moving too slowly. So hopefully this new board, all of you here, 2017, we can kickstart things and push things forward quicker. I think that's about it. Bill?
Hi, my name is Bill Campisi. I've been on the board 1 year. I've lived in Berkeley most of my life. I worked at KPFA in 1972, I think, as a volunteer. I pretty much stayed out of KPFA's problems over the last several decades. I just listened to the radio station. I'm a medical malpractice attorney. I'm trying to write a book on how to people can more safely negotiate the healthcare system. This is getting in the way. So I've developed the idea. I'm not a business attorney, but nor am I a businessman. But I've developed the idea that Pacific has a flawed organizational structure, and fundamentally, Pacific and the stations have to decide whether they want to have a strong national management system, or whether they want to have local control in stations under local control. And trying to have both has not worked. And I'm questioning whether we need Pacifica. I've developed the idea that maybe what we need are five independent stations where people are meeting with each other in a room, talking through their problems, trying to work to make their station better. Pacifica seems this opaque organization that's away from us, that meets by telephone. We don't ever know what the hell's going on. And so I'm thinking the structure is not working. And so, and it's collapsing. And so there's a bunch of us who are thinking we have to prepare to try to get back our license and run our station. And so we've developed all these ideas. I've been working on those ideas. So, and it's getting critical. So, we need to start thinking about this stuff and seriously working on it, you know. So some of us have been talking to some FCC lawyers and stuff like that to try to figure out how we could get our license back, because Pacifica may collapse shortly. So that's what I'm doing.
Hi, I'm Andrea Turner, and I'm a former board member as well as former national board member. I didn't think I was going to come back, but there are some areas that I feel, and especially at this time, that we, quote-unquote, progressives need to come together. We're at 1 minute to midnight here in our country, and we are in a pivotal position to make changes and to sustain and make our listening voices heard nationally. And we are really, really needed. Our people need us in the community. And so that's what we need to work on right now. There's nothing like us. That's number one. My other concern is that we do an assessment when we have our retreat of who and what we are and where we're going. I mean, to really hone in on structural issues here and be clear about that, and to stand together and have each other's backs for the community. I would like to see us to continue to work on inclusiveness. That's really, really important. Broaden our base, as always. That's been a standing issue. But our financial structure definitely needs to be addressed. I'm a program director for the City of Oakland, and I deal with programming and budgeting, and I'm very much interested in working in those areas with KPFA and Pacifica. So let's try to move this forward and get on with it. We just need to work together to try to make it happen, to save really the station as well as any parts of Pacifica. And most important from as a cultural activist, because I do cultural, I'm a choir director, and I'm with Vukani Mawetu, the South African choir, and I also sing with the Rock and Solidarity Labor Chorus and sometimes with La Pena. But that whole cultural factor needs to be brought to the fore here. And we could go on with who and what we are. That's not the issue right now. I think we all have a general love and concern with keeping Pacifica, KPFA in particular, alive and somewhat at least go to the next level of trying to keep the base of us alive here. Because this is it, folks. Yeah. This is it, and we'll see when the rubber hits the floor where we can move on that, and I'm sure we can.
I wish I would be as hopeful as you are on that latter point. Sasha Futrin, I'm in my seventh year on the board with a three-year gap between the second and now the third term. And retired, worked media, print and broadcast, including radio. And, you know, I think all of you, from what I've heard, have said things that I share in more or less. I think our financial difficulties are extreme, and I think that has to be dealt with. And I, frankly, do not see how all of Pacifica gets saved, given the way the board deals with things, or doesn't deal with things, actually, of any importance. And I would like Pacifica to be saved, but I certainly am committed to saving KPFA And as somebody who has worked in media, I know how important it is in terms of the news and information that can't be gotten from other places other than us.
Okay. I'm Aki Tanaka, and I'm a retired engineer. And I was on the board also from 2006 to 12, so 6 years before. So the reason why I'm back is that, you know, the way I look at the world is that if you look at the media, you know, there's only entire world is collapsing, and then there's no source of news except us, and yet we spend all our time fighting inside, you know, internally. So I'm going to give it another try and see if we can, you know, write ourselves internally first and then go on to the bigger things out there.
Hello, my name is Brian Crowell. I'm 39 years old. people define me as a troublemaker. I think that's a good thing, though. I've done a lot of union work, unfair labor practices with employees, work with unions in New York, Los Angeles, Florida, Berkeley. Major reason I wanted to run for the board is because I'm very concerned about the young people. And I say young, I know I'm only 39, but I'm talking about the people 18 to 25 who see their future as very bleak. And I agree with, I'm sorry, I forgot your name, ma'am. What was your name? Lisa. I agree that there's a lot of untapped energy with the youth that we need to tap into. It's there. I don't think that the young people are jaded, but I do think they're looking for leadership. And that's the main reason I wanted to run. Thank you.
Hello. I'm Carol Wolfley, and I'm a retired special education teacher, and I do community mediation with a number of activists and local organizations. I have been on the KPFA Community Advisory Board for the past 3 years and helped gather information from listeners. And recently, my passion has been to talk with people in the Pacifica Network across groups and across geographical areas to try and understand what we're facing. And I want to say how inspired and how much I treasure the 200 affiliates of the Pacifica Network who are bringing independent media news all over the country. And I think this is particularly crucial at this time. And I want to do everything I can to support those affiliates and to help the other sister stations. One of the things that we recently were able to accomplish, and I know that Tom Borges and Garrison worked on this also, but to have on Pacifica Audio Port something called News Up, where people can different programmers across the country can share news among themselves. And I think that's going to be crucial at this time. So, and I'm also working on getting interns in the community to work in the news department at or on Upfront or to join the apprenticeship program. Because the more interns and young people we can bring to the station, I think the better that's going to improve our programs. So I really look forward to working with you all. I've read all your profiles and treasure that you're here. Thank you. Bye.
I'm Rich Withers. I'm the associate representative representing KFCF in Fresno, which rebroadcasts KPFA about 80% of the time. It has about 20% local programming. I got started with KFCF back in May of 1975, shortly before it went on the air as a volunteer. I've worked at KFCF a little bit on and off originally, but spent a lot of my time working in commercial radio as a broadcast engineer. 2008, I became the manager of KFCF and take care of engineering and management. And I think it's important to keep KPFA and Pacifica alive, but I, you know, again, look at some of the financial structure of Pacifica as it is and their enormous debt. And it's not very encouraging, but hopefully somebody can resolve it.
My name is Tom Voorhees. I started with KPFA as a volunteer back in the mid-60s as one of KPFA's transmitter engineers. These days, I've been working, starting up new community radio stations between Alaska and Puerto Rico. I was also one of the people that tried to interest Pacifica in absorbing the gift of RFPI, a shortwave station, back in 04. These days, I'm interested in news development. I started with that back in 99 with the start up of the IMC, Independent Media Centers, which I was one of the founders. And I think that's about it.
Good afternoon, board members old and new. I'm Anthony Fest. I'm an unpaid staff member and a staff rep to this board. Started KPFA in 1994. I did the Sunday news for 20 years or so. What I'm doing now is technical production for the Project Censored Show, the Poor News Network segment on Flash or Hard Knock Radio. And lastly, I help out on the Andres Soto program. The way I'd like to see the station going, I'd like to see more sustainability, more equity for the unpaid staff, and more democracy from top to bottom.
My name's Tim Lynch. I'm the host of Dead to the World. I've been part of the music department since the 2000, and I did some volunteering back in the mid 1990s. Before that, I too think that we don't have time to be fighting among each other about this particular fine point or that other fine point, that we really need to find unity. I heard Andrea loud and clear when she said it's a minute to midnight nationally. I think it's 30 seconds or less for Pacifica to midnight. So we are in deep, deep trouble, and I think we need to work across any of the lines that have been drawn before that have separated us. And I would looking forward, and I've always been looking to unity across unpaid staff and paid staff lines, for example, which is one of the lines that I think some people have tried to draw with us. We don't have time to fight each other. We got bigger fish to fry right now. So I also have to leave at 3 o'clock, and that's going to impact us because I'm the recorder.